Good morning again. This is David Saul from Beholding His Glory. You are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV. Last week, we ended talking about God's grand goal, His purpose in our life, and that is to conform us into the character and the nature of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. God is not trying to make us rich and happy and popular and wealthy, even successful. Oh, no. God has one focus, one purpose for us in mind, and that is to work on us through His dealings and His judgments till we come into the image and even expression of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this process is not something that happens automatically. Oh, no. This process is something we must elect in our lives and give ourselves over to. We must allow God's permission, free sway in us, so that this process will be able to kill those things in us that are not of God. Now, most Christians never come to this place of commitment and dedication, and this is why most Christians never come to victory over areas in their life. Victory in God comes out of judgment and separation and those things that cause us to stumble and fall out of the way God has for us to go. Jesus was always under the judgment and restriction of His Father. This is why Jesus was in unity with the Father. This was the prayer and heart of Jesus in John chapter 17, which is the Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer. In John 17, 22 and 23, we read, "And the glory which Thou give me, I have given to them," that would be us, "that they may be one," or unity, "even as we are one," or in unity, "and in them, and Thou in me," or Jesus in us, and God in Jesus, what unity is that? "That they may be made perfect," that word perfect there is mature or selfless, "in one," in that unity. Not that we are in unity with each other, which is, I guess, a good thing to desire, but be in unity with the Father as Jesus and the Father was in unity. Do you see the difference? We will never come to a place of unity as Jesus is in unity with the Father unless we can come to a place where we can judge ourselves. As victory is in God comes out of righteous judgment, so then unity with the Father comes out of self-judgment. This will be a functioning with God altogether as one or unity and in one unit. This is God's intention also in our serving Him. This is why He must train us and teach us how He operates. He expects for us to participate with Him in things pertaining to the heavenly, like judging angels and people on earth. This wondrous walk with God is all about learning how to function correctly with Him. All of the other things like sharing the gospel and miracles and feeding the poor and all that stuff is good and it needs to be done, but they're all secondary to learning how to operate like God. You know, this time on earth is like boot camp where we learn the basics, the fundamentals of the spiritual realm. This is why my sweet and beautiful wife Karen calls our time on earth our earthly boot camp. And we learn how to flow and function and operate as Jesus did for now. But our training and teaching has more of an importance and significance in our next life to come. We are being trained so that we will be useful in our next life, and then our next life, and then our life after that. For all eternity, we will be learning and growing in God. So just do it. That's right. Just do it. If you don't judge, if you do not close your gate, your heart, if you do not banish sin, if you do not rule over your heart by God's dealing and judgments, then you are like a city with no walls. In Proverbs 25:28, we read, "He has no rule over his own spirit, like a city that is broken down and without walls." It is our responsibility first to judge ourselves, not God's. It is our duty. It is our reasonable service. It is our duty to lay aside sin and those things that cause us to come short of the glory of God, like bad attitudes, bad motives, character flaws, and etc. It is our job to close out things in our lives and heart not God's. Without walls, the enemy can come in and take over. Why? Well, you know, rule over your own spirit. If you do not rule your own spirit, then someone or something else will rule over your spirit. Lately, I have seen on TV and in person some people that are ruled by demonic spirits, and you can see that in their faces, and you can see it in their body language, and you can hear it in their spoken language, all framed by demonic overtones and demonic influences, ruled and controlled. And why? Because they have no walls of protection around them. They have opened themselves up to, you know, to demonic possession by actions and words spoken against Christ. They are now anti-Christ. They are against Christ. And without a wall of protection, they have been made a creature of darkness and of sin, and not of the light. But if they had the ability to judge themselves, then they would have been able to allow God to raise up a standard of truth and righteousness that would repel the advance of the enemy. There is always someone standing by waiting to rule over your spirit. Let me say that again. There is always somebody standing by waiting to rule over your spirit. The implications and significance of you ruling your spirit moves through all of eternity. That when we judge ourselves, we then rule, we then rule over our fears, our deeds, our words, all of those issues in our life. We are in charge then. We are in charge of our actions because we come to judgment. We banish it, and our flesh cannot appeal. We have the final judgment, not God. God has given us that authority, and He will not take it back. God wants us to rule over our fleshly desires. Self-judgment is very straightforward, my friend. We just do it. It does not need explanation. You know, here on earth, we think we do not need to judge ourselves because someday God will, in the sweet by and by, or maybe in the resurrection. Well, in both cases, we are right. But when he does, it will be too late for some. And others, these Christians I'm talking about, will suffer great loss. And some will lose everything except their salvation, which is given to them. For some, just having salvation is enough. Well, that is not enough for me. God wants more from us than to make it just into the heaven by the skin of our teeth. Oh no, God has much more for us to learn. How can we learn all that God has for us if we do not judge righteous judgment? We can't. How can we learn in God if we do not judge righteous judgment, as I said? It is God's intention. He is counting on us. It is His purpose and plan for us to know what is holy and shun that which is unholy. God intends for us to know that which is righteous and walk away from those things that are unrighteous. Many Christians do not walk away from those things that are unrighteous. They want to dabble with them a little bit, and they think that, well, as long as I just go ahead and, I'm going to only look till I need glasses. Well, my friend, if you only look till you need glasses, then you are in serious, serious trouble. God intends for us to choose righteousness, holiness, those things that are clean and those things that are pure, so that we can become like Him. Wow. Can you imagine God's intention for us is to become like Him? To be holy. God said in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And God meant that. He is expecting, He is looking for us to judge ourselves so we too can come to look like Him. Wow, what a wonderful concept, to where we can come to look like a holy God. Well, that is what God desires in our life. And yes, my friend, it could happen for So the Holy Spirit would have wrote this down in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be holy, for I am holy." God is looking for us to be holy. Paul in Romans said, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Wow, sin shall not have dominion over you, but we allow that so many times because we do not take the initiative. We do not want to judge ourselves so that we may not be judged by the world. Well, my friend, I will tell you that is what happens. If we do not judge ourselves, then we will be judged by man on earth, and then we will be judged by God, and it may be too late for many in heaven. Amen. Next week, I think I would like to start a new series, a series on unity, amen? Not unity with our brothers and our sisters having, you know, prayer breakfasts and all getting together. That's not the biblical unity. Biblical unity comes out of us being in fellowship with each other as Jesus was in fellowship with the Father, amen? This is David Saul from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have a tremendous week and that you open up your heart to the Lord and allow Him to speak to you so that you will be able to be conformed into the character and the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.